Hello.
Hola.
Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast where we discuss and we review new movie releases. I'm Emily Glazer.
I'm Jonathan Pyle.
This is the last.
This is Beans Glazer.
Beans has joined us with her alligator. It's an alligator, but its name is Alligator.
Yeah, it's very unconventional.
Yes, very. She's very unconventional. She does not conform to doggy stereotypes. She's a girl, but she has a blue collar, which confuses everybody in our apartment complex.
That's very true.
I don't think one person in the apartment complex thinks she's a girl.
Yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure it's like a universal consensus. And her name is Beans, which is very androgynous.
It does lean male.
Oh no, Alligator has fallen on the ground.
She's so concerned.
She's trying to get settled up, and she wants to sit in my lap. Okay.
You're missing a lot if you're not watching the YouTube video.
I know. As I was saying, this is the last podcast that we will be filming where my name will be introduced as Emily Glazer.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
Because we're getting married on Monday.
We'll be at Jonathan and Emily Pyle.
Yes. We're pre-filming this podcast, so that means that there will be another episode out where I call myself Emily Glazer, but that's because we filmed it a while ago.
Ahead of time. Yeah. So while we're in Hawaii, our episodes will be released.
Because we are on top of it.
Because we're amazing.
Getting stuff done.
Record breakers, trailblazers.
Yeah, because we're totally the first people in the world to have pre-filmed a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's no way anybody else has ever done that before.
No way.
So, everybody, couple intros to the podcast. We're going to spoil the movie, so if you don't want to be spoiled, go watch it, come back later. Second off, follow us on Letterboxd, DI_podcast, where we post the movies before we talk about them. And after those quick little disclaimers, let's go into the first segment of the podcast, which, Jonathan, you need to open up your Letterboxd for this one, because we have watched so many movies recently, I could not tell you all of them.
Oh,
all okay. I know is that we're watching two shows, House of Cards and The Changeling, because those are reoccurring, so I remember it.
True.
Changeling's super interesting.
Yeah.
I am enjoying it. The newest episode that came out, I was not expecting it to go in that direction.
Me either.
Yeah. So as we're filming this, there will be a new episode out before this episode drops, but the one prior, if this makes any sense, this is very contorted, the one before the one that has just been released for you, that went in a weird direction for me. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the next one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I'm sorry. I totally got lost in my words. Yes, you're right.
Lost in my words. Okay, so what are all the movies we've watched recently? Because we've watched, I think, a million things.
So we watched a documentary called American Factory.
Oh, that was so good. I was in a documentary mood.
Yeah.
Jonathan doesn't like documentaries, but recently I've gotten
to
watch
them. It's hard
for
me to just be like, yes, documentary. It's like, oh, I guess I could watch a documentary.
But what makes them so interesting is that they're real. Like, these are real things that happened. And the really cool thing about American Factory was, like, they had so much footage that I was like, how did you get this? Like, how did they get into these departmental meetings with literally the CEO of the company, like, saying, like, he's illegally discriminating against his American employees,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, they literally have footage of it. Like, he just let them in there. It was so weird.
Crazy.
It was very good, though.
It was very
realistic. Didn't it win an Oscar?
Yeah, it won the Oscar.
It's really good.
Back in 2020?
It felt kind of like
you said
the office, the way they were shooting some of it, like the zoom pans, like trying to follow a guy around, or like then and then he'd all of a sudden start be like talking to the camera or something about something.
And they showed like all the perspectives, which I really appreciated too.
Yes, they chose people from like all different realms of the company to speak, like people who are pro union, people who weren't pro union, mm-hmm. people who are like
floor employees.
Yeah, people who were from China who were floor employees, American floor employees. Like, it was super cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, highly recommend. I love documentaries.
We watch Bullet Train, which is very enjoyable.
Yes.
I love Tangerine and Lemon.
They're funny.
I watched while Emmy did some extraneous activities.
I've been crafting recently, so usually when I'm crafting, I want Jonathan to play movies in the background so that I can, like, not get bored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put on my Criterion DVD of Blue Velvet by David Lynch.
That was so weird that you liked Blue
Velvet.
Such
a good movie.
Because you don't normally like movies made before 1990. Like, you don't watch movies from the 80s very often. You are a film buff, but
true.
You are up to date on modern film.
I don't know.
You don't know much
about
anything
the
before, like the 80s and earlier. You don't know.
But there
much
are other
about.
Movies in the past I love, like Heat. That was the 1990s. Taxi Driver.
I just said prior to 1990. You don't know. You don't know movies prior to 1990, and you literally just said
Apocalypse
it
Now, The Godfather. I know.
Those are classics, some. Though. Those are like iconic classics.
That's true, but yeah, you're right. I did just say that. But yeah, I love Blue Velvet. Dennis Hopper is honestly terrifying in that movie. I love him. So weird. It's just
it
like
was pretty good. It was
it's
weird.
Just like what's exploring underneath the surface, you know?
It makes no sense though. Like the woman, I don't understand her actions at all. Maybe if I'd been actually actively watching the movie, I could have thought about it. But I was not actually paying that much attention.
She was kind of troubled.
What else did we watch?
It was kind of crappy, but it kind of wasn't a political thriller called State of Play.
There were
Ben
every
Affleck,
big actor I've ever seen.
Rachel McAdams, Viola Davis, Jeff Daniels.
There were too many people in it. It was almost like, can you just hire a normal person, please?
Blanking on who else was in it. Yeah, that's what we watched.
That's it? Okay.
Oh, and then
cool.
Of course, the movie, The Equalizer 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jonathan, on that note, do you want to intro the movie?
I just did.
No more introduction needed?
None.
Oh, okay.
Need I say more?
Yes. Need you need?
I do.
Yes.
Directed by Antoine Fuqua. Okay. Do you know who he is?
Nope.
Well, let me tell you about him.
Oh my gosh, tell me everything.
So he's done a lot of movies. He's did, you know, the movie Training Day we watched back in Atlanta?
Yeah.
With Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the first two Equalizer movies. The Magnificent Seven, the remake, not the original, of course. Southpaw, Olympus Has Fallen. He's done a good amount of movies.
Okay.
He's a good director. This is, fun fact, his fifth collaboration with Denzel Washington.
Oh, so they really like to work together.
Yeah.
Well, three of which were the Equalizer movies, so that's not as... You know what I mean? It's not like three different huge projects. It was three movies within like a series.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Training Day and then Magnificent Seven, which is a great movie. I love that movie.
Okay.
This movie stars the guy, Denzel, as Robert McCall.
But he goes by Roberto.
Roberto. Dakota Fanning as Emma Collins in a not great performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Denman Subpar. As Frank Conroy, who is... What's his name in The Office? I can't think of Pam's boyfriend in The Office. What's his name?
His character was not that big of a deal. Why did it you wasn't. Feel like he was necessary to name? There were like a bunch of Italian actors you didn't name.
There were a bunch of Italian actors I didn't name. I'm falling down on the job. Give me a second.
Yeah, Jonathan, come on. Get it together.
Eugenio Mastrangia. I'm sorry. As Gio Bonucci, the marshal. And then you had...
Who was the old guy?
Remo Girone?
Maybe, you know what? Don't worry about it, guys. There's there's a lot of Italian actors in it.
Italian.
But they were great. They were wonderful. Jonathan
That's
just
what we're
can't
trying
pronounce
to
their
say.
Names.
Anyway, yeah. So this is the third of the Equalizer movies. Hence why it's called the third. Robert McCall finds himself at home in southern Italy, but he discovers his friends are under the control of local crime bosses, as you would expect. As events turn deadly, McCall knows what he has to do, become his friend's protector by taking on the mafia.
Who writes these? You know what I mean?
I can tell you who wrote it if you want. Budget?
$70 million.
You just looked at my screen.
No, $70 million is just a good mid-tier movie.
How did you know? You looked at my screen. That's exactly what it was.
I just am good at guessing movies.
Okay, sure. Box office, it's made $132 million so far worldwide.
Wow.
Which is okay, I think.
Well, they made more than what it costed, so to me, that's a win. They saw profit.
Yeah, but a lower opening weekend in the U.S. was like $35 million. It's so weird
that's
saying,
like
just
it's
casually
nothing.
Saying $1 million.
$35 million as if it's not good.
I know, but it's disappointing for U.S. opening weekend standards. But still, like, a movie that costs, like, $360 million, just putting that, like, amount of money like realistically thinking about it,
spending that much money on a project that lasts a year and a half, you know what I mean?
That's crazy. Movie industry,
it's crazy
huge.
How much money they make from movies.
Crazy.
Beans is like so intensely chewing on her alligator.
She loves her alligator.
It's so cute. Don't distract her. She's so happy. Okay, so are you done with whatever you were doing?
Am I done? You weren't enjoying all that?
I was having a blast. I just want to know if you're done yet.
Take me out of the oven. I'm done.
Okay, you ready? How many stars?
Can I give it like 3.25?
No. I give it 2.5 stars.
I give it 3.
Why?
Because it was enjoyable. It's pretty much exactly what I expected, except I thought it could have been longer.
Longer? You wanted it to be longer.
It was short. Nope. It was short. I feel like
I thought it was sweet spot. Yes, Beans, you did get something chewy up your alligator.
Did you just swallow it? Yes, you did. Good job. I don't know. It just kind of ended. I was like, no, is that it? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But let's get into my comments.
I think Denzel is endlessly charismatic in any role he is in. He's brilliant.
He is wonderful. He was really good. But there was just so many things wrong with this movie. I still enjoyed it, but it was just like, come on, man, really? You know, like plot holes or just like not great acting, not good story writing, like unnecessary things.
Yeah.
Like my main like thing about this movie that I'm like, really? Is like this guy deals with his problems by killing people. As if it's like the most normal thing in the world. Like that's just what gets me.
What do you mean deals with his problems?
The whole premise. Oh, I don't like you. You're a bad guy. Well, I'm going to kill you.
Well, yes, that's true. But also
anything that comes after or anything that comes before a but is negated by whatever you say next.
Oh, you know, you're quoting Game of Thrones right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, Game of Thrones is amazing.
But he's doing it to protect other people. You know, that's kind of his thing.
Yeah, but plenty of people protect other people without murder, like mass murder.
Sometimes that's the only solution. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just the route he takes, it's his skill set. And he's very good at it.
He's very good. It's his skill set. That's why.
He's very skillful.
He's skilled with
his
skill sets. His sets. So.
What am I saying?
Like, it's just weird. Like, it's hard to watch it and, like, believe it because. Like, everyone in his community, when they find out, like, he's mega violent, like, do not at all seem fazed or worried about it.
That
they're like, love
they
you,
don't
bro.
Even care.
Like, stabs a guy in the face. You got it,
that's
Robert.
Some
like,
tight
you're the
shit.
Best.
Like, yeah, that's very true.
It was just so weird. And, like, I would be so nervous, like, if I knew this man that, like, oh, well, what if one day, like, I piss him off and he fucking kills me?
Well, it's not like petty stuff he's killing people over, you know? They're destroying people's lives too, the mafia. And they blew up a train and killed a whole bunch of people.
That's true, they did.
They funded it as well.
Yeah, they did. Also, something I want to talk about is Dakota. Sweetie.
Dakota.
I'm sorry, but you need to try a little harder. Like, you cannot act next to Denzel Washington and not step up to the plate. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are gonna co-star with him?
A little, I don't know. What's the word?
Like, she was like talking to a wall.
She
had no emotion, no facial expression. Like, her reactions were very just like captivating. Like, they just didn't seem real.
Yeah,
it was not
good. I mean, it's better than I could have done, but like, I don't want to be an actor, you know?
Yeah, and like, just cherry on top, not only was her acting crap, but her character literally contributed nothing to the entire movie. She was just a body in the way, like representing the clueless authorities.
That's technically true. She didn't actually. You take her out of the movie stays the same.
Yeah, she contributed absolutely.
Well,
nothing
no,
to the
it
movie.
Doesn't stay the same actually.
Yeah, it just becomes shorter, which you would have a problem with.
I would have major problems with it, as we have discussed.
Wait, so what would... Well, they about the movie... What about the movie would be worse if her character was not in it?
So, it doesn't have to be her character. It could have been any.
No, but I'm specifically talking about her. Oh, just like a CIA agent? Yeah.
Yeah, because then they wouldn't have figured out the whole scheme, you know?
No, but Robert told her the whole scheme the whole time. So they didn't even... There just wouldn't have been a bust.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But they could have easily, like, busted them by just, like, tipping the authorities and then showing the authorities at the end. Like, they didn't need to have a whole storyline about a girl that, like, was just, like, useless.
Yeah, she was... Also, she didn't really sell the whole, like, cool-ass female agent, I'll take shit from anybody.
She looked like she was 22 and, like, had no idea what she was doing. And for some reason, her boss put her in a field job.
Like, it's just the casting.
Which they were going for, but it didn't even work.
The casting was off. They should have picked, like... I don't know.
Elle Fanning would have been way better.
Which Amelia Clark would have been good in that role.
Oh my God, I love Amelia Clark. She would have been good in there. I just like, I love Elle Fanning. So like, I have very high expectations when I see Dakota Fanning, and I feel bad comparing her to her sister because I know they're different people with different careers.
That's probably very triggering.
Oh, one just comment I had about this movie is the cinematography was like so weird.
It was Robert Richardson, though, who is very well renowned.
Like, some of the shots, I was like, wow, that's really good. And then some of them was like, really? It's like I felt like they were trying to do something and take risks in artistic freedoms, but it really didn't pay off the whole time. Like, it only really executed 50% of the time. And then some of it, I was like, this shot is so bad. Like, when they were up at the church, there's a scene where Dakota Fanning is talking to Denzel Washington and they have absolutely no character development. He's just feeding her information and she is like talking to a wall, basically. And the cinematography was just so weird in it. And maybe I just wasn't appreciating it. But as I was watching the movie, I was like, it just seems like they were trying to get the only shot they could with both of their bodies in it because they were like sitting across from each other.
I thought it was better than a lot of like... other films in the genre, you know,
the cinematography. Yeah, like, some of the shots like were really good because like I think really the issue with that scene maybe was just that they were not placed in good spots.
It was the block
to have a conversation. Yeah, I guess maybe it wasn't even the cinematography, but they did a couple of shots that were like really good.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
maybe that was whatever the blocking is. I don't know what that is.
Oh, like blocking is like where an actor is placed in.
Who does that?
Well, it's kind of like the whole cinematography team plus the actor.
Oh, okay.
Where the actor is in relation to the camera, how they move.
Yeah, it was really rough in that scene. And I was like, guys, there needs to be something in this scene that's beneficial to the movie. And there wasn't one thing.
Yeah. No hate on Robert Richardson, though. He's great. He's done most of...
I'm not trying to hate on him.
Quentin Tarantino's movies.
Wow. So he's like...
he's a big boy. Up. Yeah.
Okay. So are you ready to talk about the plot?
Oh yeah, we haven't even gotten into that.
Yeah. Shit. Okay, my friends. So the movie starts out in Sicily at this like fancy guy's beautiful home. And then they show you that there are like a million dead guys, maybe not a million, maybe like 20 dead guys
25.
Throughout the house. You can tell it's a gory scene. Someone went through and murdered them. And I guess you're supposed to be like, oh my gosh, there's so many dead people. There's no way one guy could have done this. But Robert McCall, man, he really just, whew.
Who would you pick to be on your side? Knock Robert McCall dead. Or John Wick?
John Wick, 100%.
Yeah, I think I choose John
Wick. I've only ever seen Robert McCall kill like 20 people at a time. John Wick kills hundreds. He kills the masses. And just John Wick, 100%.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
There's other people who could put in that category. Jason Bourne.
Captain America.
No, he doesn't really fit in there.
So you're talking about men, like normal men in movies that have like amazing killing abilities.
What's his name? In Taken, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson's great. I would just... John Wick all the way. I love John Wick. John Wick all the way. I just love Ethan Keanu Hunt. Reeves.
That's another one.
Oh, Ethan Hunt. Yes. Mission Impossible, the guy. Oh, that's a hard one. Ethan Hunt or...
It's like you pick one and the rest of them are hunting you. That's always... That's like
oh, and meme. Then that one gets to protect you. Yes. This is a meme?
That's a meme that goes around like, oh, would you pick a tiger... or a rhino to protect you against all these people.
Oh, but like with that's, the with action that. Movie guys. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Ethan Hunt or John Wick. I honestly think...
In terms of killing efficiently, John Wick.
Yeah, I was literally gonna say that killing power, John Wick. But like if I want to like, you know, truly achieve spyhood and be like undercover, I would go with Ethan Hunt.
Sure. Or Jason Bourne.
What about James Bond?
I totally forgot about him. Yeah, that's true. That's a big
There's just too many options.
Too many.
I don't know. This was a fun conversation, though. Okay, so you see all these dead guys, but they don't show you how they die. So like that's kind of like a little bit of like, ooh, what's going on? But I feel like in the moment, you know, in the movie theater, seeing all the dead guys, it's pretty safe to say that you are probably right if you assume that it was Denzel Washington who did it.
More likely than right.
Yes. What? So
you just went with that.
Lorenzo Vitale is the owner of this winery, and he pulls up with his kid and finds all of the dead people, goes down to the basement, and he finds Robert McCall, who is a retired Marine and DIA operative, whatever DIA means.
DEA?
The interweb said DIA.
What's DIA? Department of...
Internal CIA? Ass kicking?
It's CIA. What's DIA?
I don't know. That's what the interweb said. You know what? CIA makes way more sense.
Yeah, I think it's
we're
CIA.
We're gonna fix that. I must have mistyped. So he finds Robert inside at gunpoint because a couple of
thugs,
Lorenzo's guys,
goons,
got him henchmen at gunpoint. And obviously
bad guys.
Robert obviously Robert would not let himself just sit and be at gunpoint if he didn't know he had the situation under control. Yeah. So he's sitting there at gunpoint. Lorenzo's like, my bros got you. You thought you were gonna get away, but you weren't. And of course Robert takes over and kills them all.
He kills one by pushing the barrel of the gun into his eye.
And then he shoots it through his head at another guy.
Yeah.
That brilliant. Part I was like, I think I literally said this is going to be one of those movies.
This like, one is gorier than both of the previous ones.
That was like the most, yeah, you know what? The scene at the end is pretty gory too. But with movies like this, like you expect it. You're like the beginning and the end are going to have really gory scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's just what's got to happen for it to be successfully executed. So, Robert kills everybody, steals the keys to the vault, and he steals a little bit of money. Not that much money, though.
Just a bit.
And so as he's leaving, he is then shot in the back by Lorenzo's kid, who had been waiting in the car for his dad. And so Robert is shot and dying. So he takes the ferry back to land, and he passes out along the highway.
He lets the kid go. He doesn't shoot the kid. Which is probably good.
Yeah, because he's a good man.
He's a good man. Like, he would never harm anybody.
He would never harm anybody who did not deserve it for no reason.
Ever.
He only hurts people if completely necessary, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no other option.
Yeah, that's obvious, you know? I mean, that's just life. Like, we've all had to kill 20 or so people just to get by, right?
Oh, especially for a Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy Wednesday today.
Yeah.
So, Gianno Bonuccini is a local. What?
Wait, how do you say
that? I don't know. Bonuccini? I'm guessing. Bonuccini.
Bonucci.
Bonucci?
Bonucci.
Okay, I trust him. It's Bonucci. I don't know. He's a local. Forgive me for not knowing how to pronounce Italian words.
Oh my God.
And he finds Robert dying on the side of the road. So he picks him up and he brings him to a local doctor. So Robert ends up in this small little town called Alamonte, and Enzo, the local doctor, nurses him back to health. So when Robert asks Enzo why he's helping him and hasn't taken him to the police because he's this man who's been shot and just brought to his home, Enzo asks Robert if he is a good man, and Robert says that he doesn't know. And to Enzo, that automatically makes Robert a good man.
I kind of like that.
I don't agree with this at all.
Kind of like it.
Like, I bet plenty of bad men have doubted what they were doing was right, but that didn't stop them from doing bad things. Like, they are still bad men. Like, if you kill people regularly when you have a problem with them, you are a bad man.
But those people are doing bad things, you know? How do you make that argument?
But that's the whole thing of, like, we have a governmental system to handle it. So that everybody gets fair treatment for their punishment and crimes. Now, obviously, it's a flawed system. But the whole point of the system is that, like, you as an individual person don't get to decide the sentence and the fate of somebody that you deem to be a bad person.
Executioner.
He's a vigilante.
It's true. Or a hero, anti-hero, whatever you want to call him.
I love how you always play devil's advocate in these for literally.
I always do.
You, the thing about sometimes though when you're playing devil's advocate, you're not even playing devil's advocate.
The way you looked at me, there was so much hate in the way you looked at me.
It's just so funny. Like you always, when you play devil's advocate, you don't actually have claims. You just go like, hero, anti-hero.
Well, am I right? Your argument. Or am I right? I'm right.
It's funny.
What?
As Robert is healing from his wounds, he starts to fall in love with the small town, the locals, and their culture. And he gets protective when he notices that there is a local mafia that is tormenting the locals and forces all of them to pay a tax to them just for existing.
It is Italy, you know? The mafia is there, obviously.
Really?
Yeah. Italian mafia? Come on.
I just assumed that there was an Italian mafia in like New York or something, but I didn't know
they're
that.
All over the place.
I didn't know that that was like a common thing in Italy.
Oh, maybe not in Italy, but I guess they gotta come from somewhere.
You have some dog fuzz on your microphone.
I've got an extra hitchhiker.
So, stop throwing it at me. So, in my opinion, I think this next part is so irrelevant. But this is just the beginning of Dakota Fanning's role, and that's why I think it's irrelevant. So Robert's like, you know what I'm going to do now that I've, you know, gone into this vineyard, learned that it's actually a drug smuggling like hub. I'm going to call Emma Collins at the CIA to offer her a tip that the winery is housing an illegal drug trade. So then this spawns a CIA investigation where Emma is literally useless in the way and making her career's big break solely based on information Robert is feeding her. She has literally no contributions at all. And everything he tells her, she's just like, yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
You're like a mentor to me. And I'm like, this man, you know, has killed all of the people in this winery. And you are sitting here, not knowing who he is, considering him a mentor.
Yeah. That's
just because he's feeding her information.
It's true. She doesn't seem like
it almost
she would ever not trust him, you know?
I know. It almost seems the other way around. Like, isn't it supposed to be that the CIA officers are the ones who use, like, people for information, whereas instead the person is using the CIA officer or agent to feed her information so he gains nothing from it? It's just so weird.
Well, I guess he gains more peace in the world.
We find out later why he chose her, but other than
that, it does make sense.
It's like, it just kind of pisses me off because I'm like, so many people work so hard on their careers to get promotions, and at the end of this movie, she gets a promotion solely because he fed her information the whole time.
Just like House of Cards.
It just pissed me off. I don't know. It just bothered me. So another question I have about this is, like, is this even her jurisdiction? Like, this is an Italian drug scheme in Italy. Like, it sounds like Robert should have sent this tip to the Italian authorities. Like, maybe I missed a part where there's somehow an American link to the drug trade, but, like, literally made no sense to me. Why the CIA would be investigating it.
CIA has no boundaries by law. And I guess, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. It didn't necessarily affect American soil. Maybe some Americans were killed in like the train accident or something, but
there was a train accident.
They blew up the train.
I don't remember that.
A bunch of people.
I don't remember that.
It didn't show it. It was just on the news.
Oh, the terrorist attack thing.
Yeah.
But it like wasn't a terrorist attack or something. Ugh, I got my nails done and there's already a little spot that doesn't have nail polish on it. Like,
oh my gosh.
This is like annoying when you pay a lot of money to get your nails done.
Yeah.
I really hope it doesn't chip there. This is important information for the podcast, obviously.
It's very important. So anyway.
Emma knows. Oh, do you have something to say?
Yeah. This is their reunion, Dakota Fanning and Denzel, after filming a movie called Man on Fire, in which Denzel is a
man on fire?
Yeah, and they just hose him down. No, he's like a agent who's tasked to protect this ambassador's daughter.
Oh, and she's the daughter.
And she's the daughter. And she was 10 years old when they filmed it.
So he must have really liked working with her. But when you're 10 years old, you have an excuse for being a bad actress.
That's true. That's very true. But yeah, I have complicated feelings on that movie because I feel the same way about it as I do War of the Worlds. It's just whitewash, and it's just like everywhere, and it's terrible.
Oh.
It's oversaturated and unhealthy.
Unhealthy.
High cholesterol.
It's all the saturated fats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Emma knows that Robert killed everyone at the winery, but because the movie really wanted to irk me, the police do not care that Robert is murdering people in the streets in front of people.
In the streets. So,
like, you're literally telling me that as they show them using security camera footage to track down the mobsters blowing up a shop, they somehow don't have security camera footage of Robert murdering three people in the street.
Well, why would they need that? He's the good guy.
I guess you're right. He's the good guy. So they'll overlook it. Because he's killing people that in a way that benefits them. So... You know, it's a win-win for everybody.
That benefits them? The people he's killing?
He is killing people that is benefiting the locals. So the locals are going to support him, I guess. I'm like, which doesn't make sense.
Doesn't benefit you.
I know. It's like, oh, someone in your neighborhood gets murdered, but you didn't like him? Well, thanks, man. You're great. Continue. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Is that from New Girl?
No, that's from my dad.
It sounds like it's from New Girl, though.
Else.
It doesn't like sound like something that Nick would say.
Yes, it does.
You're a gentleman and you're a scholar. I bet you it is. I swear to God, it sounds like
it's just something my dad always says. Then my cross-country coach always said it to me.
It's got to be from something.
Seinfeld, maybe?
Oh, that would make sense. That would make sense. Okay. So, and to me, it seemed like the community, like the only way it would make sense that they were rallying behind Robert would be if they were choosing him as a lesser of two evils, because like a group of scary mobsters who burn down their homes or a man who kills anyone who he disagrees with.
Well,
like, which one do you want? Which
he's
one do you
a
want?
Nice guy, you know, and he's part of the community.
He's
he
a
gives
nice
them,
guy. He drinks
gives them
tea.
A pair. He's given a pair, which means he is in their community now somehow.
A lemon. Someone gave him a lemon.
I thought it was a pear.
No, they gave him a lemon for his tea.
Oh, that changes everything. Oh my God.
Yeah. Now that he's a lemon. That's what usually people say when something's
diesel.
Like a fluke.
Like a lemon, like a car, like
oh,
a really bad
yeah,
car.
It's a lemon. Yeah. It's like a bad one.
He's a right diesel.
And now you're quoting. Belligerent. So, the mafia are now trying to control Almonte by pressuring locals and Robert. And Robert doesn't like it. So, he decides he's going to kill people.
Oh,
as
and
any
they,
sane person would do.
Never mind. You'll get to it. Sorry.
So Robert is threatening the guys, telling them, like, I like this place. Don't do this or else. That's literally all he basically says. It's like, or else. And, of course, the guys don't take him seriously. So Robert begins his killing spree. So this is where he kills the three guys in the street and nobody cares. Literally nobody cares. So
yeah, the public could totally see that. They would not allow that.
You're I know. Right. It was just ridiculous. And so there's a scene then where they're like in an open square and the mob boss, like the top of the mob, Vincent, is shooting a guy's ear off in front of a whole crowd of people. And Robert is mad about it. So he stands up to them. And the crowd of people rally behind Robert by starting to video Vincent. And so, of course, Vincent, the mob boss, stops because he doesn't want to be caught on tape killing someone. But I'm like, you're telling me all you got to do to stop the mob boss is to set up some cameras to film him? Like, why do you need Robert to kill everybody for you? Like, oh, the mob boss is killing people. Let's just start recording him and he'll stop. You know what I mean?
Because they'd still be there and they'd still be wreaking havoc.
Yeah, but if you can just record him and make it stop, why not just do that?
Because they would still be terrorizing them.
Sometimes you don't always have to play devil's advocate. Like
I always play it.
You can bring other opinions to the table rather than just the opposite opinion of what I'm saying.
I have to go opposite all the way.
Jonathan's all or nothing.
Yes.
0 to 100.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of a flip of a switch, like, oh no, we can't do anything. We're being videotaped now. Yeah. So not like they didn't have any security cameras.
I know. And there's even a scene where the cops catch the mobsters blowing up a house on the security cameras, and the mobsters basically threaten him so that he doesn't take legal action. And I'm like, if you can do that, why do you care if people are filming you if you can just threaten everybody who films you?
That's true, but that's where Roberto comes in.
Yes, because he had to come in.
At some point, climax.
You know what I mean? It had to be a climax.
There wasn't.
I just find it so weird. Like, the people who are in the writing room who are like, so now he's going to stand up to the bad guys, and then everybody's going to rally behind him and start filming. And because they're filming, Vincent's going to leave. And I'm like, this is really what you said in the writing room, and that was so impactful that you were like, this has to be the scene.
I've seen worse. I've heard worse.
I have seen worse. You're right. I've seen better many times.
I've seen worse many times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for your input.
Just put a pin in that and come right back to it.
Oh, you want to return to this topic?
No, I'm good.
Why would you say that?
No reason.
Okay. So, let's see where I was in my notes. Okay, so that night, Robert decides he's going to infiltrate Vincent's home and kill all of his henchmen. The description when I was reading through this called them bodyguards, but I think henchmen sounds more fun, so we're going to call them henchmen.
Goons, henchmen.
Goons. So he kills people, everybody, basically, and then he gets to Vincent, and he forces him to overdose on the drugs that he is selling to the community. So why the police believe this story, I don't know. You're telling me that the police woke up the next day and they said, oh my gosh, Vincent's entire staff have been massacred. But Vincent just OD'd in the street. Like, it wasn't at all related.
Maybe they blamed it on a rival mafia, because that was one of like five families.
He only got rid of one of the families?
That was just one of the families. That was the one that was causing...
Which
was distributing the drugs and so now, buying off the jihads.
Well, now Robert is going to be the target of all of those families because he is a threat to them.
Unless they know he didn't do it, and they probably know he didn't do it.
How? Imagine looking at the security footage. Because in the movie, as Vincent is, like, overdosing on the drugs, he's, like, walking through the streets, like, tripping through the streets, and Denzel Washington is just following him. So, like, imagine watching the CCTV footage of a man overdosing, walking through the streets, like, manic, and then there's just somebody following him. Like, come on, that's so suspicious.
It is a little suspicious.
But I hate it in movies when they, like, act like the police don't exist.
They didn't do that in this movie, though. The police existed.
They just literally did nothing.
They didn't do a whole lot. One guy was being threatened with his family, so that's why he didn't do
but
anything.
The police only care about the mafia. They don't care about some vigilante murdering people in the streets. Like, if I knew there was a vigilante murdering people, that would not make me feel any safer.
That would make me feel safer.
Why? Because then they're deciding who's bad. They could decide you're a bad guy and kill you too.
But, like, Robert isn't that kind of guy in this case. I'm not saying...
Oh, you just know him so well. You're just on the first name basis.
We're pretty tight, you know.
Well, Mr. McCall, I don't trust him. Next. So, during all of this, Emma Collins... manages to get herself blown up.
Manages.
So it's a long story and, quite frankly, not worth the time to talk about it. So if you want to know how she blew up, watch the movie.
He calls her right before she gets in the car, and then the car goes kablooey.
Kablooey. Oh my gosh. So Robert then also reveals that he took a bunch of money from the winery because he has an acquaintance back home in the Americas that lost his pension because Lorenzo, the winery owner, had some criminal scheme that stole people's pensions. So Robert decided, you know, since this man is stealing people's pensions, I'm going to murder everyone in his home, including him. And he got back the money for that one guy. He didn't get back the money for anybody else.
Yeah, that was a little random, only the one guy.
But it was like the only way they could set it up so that he could shoot up a bunch of people in Italy and then go hang out in an Italian town. And have the Italian mafia.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
anyways, fun fact. So, you know, at the end of the movie when Robert McCall gives Emma Collins the little black book?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his, like, contact number suggesting that he is retiring, thereby insinuating that this is the last in the movie series.
Will it be?
Probably, yeah. I think so.
If I was one of those contacts and I started getting calls from the agent Emma Collins, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd be like, will you sell me out, man?
Or, I know, literally. So, Collins has now become some amazing agent of the U.S.
government. She got a new office.
She takes all of the stolen money for Robert and brings it back to the States. How she got it onto a plane, only God knows.
Well, it's CIA planes.
Like, she gives it to the family that their pension was stolen, so she's returning the money, apparently. And she's literally breaking so many laws. Like, oh my goodness, you're telling me that a mass murder scene of 20 people of a drug bust is missing $300,000. So you're just going to carry it yourself back to the Americas and then give it to some random family. Like, that is so illegal. I just hate the plot holes in this movie. And she just knows casually that Robert is a mass murderer, but she doesn't bat an eye because he just got her a huge promotion at work. So we actually then find out that Emma is the daughter of Robert's old handler, Susan, and that Emma got a promotion from the bust. So I just have a couple words to leave with on this movie. And, you know, the true lesson that we have learned and is that we love nepotism.
Well, you heard it there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Over and out.
Yeah, I like the first movie the most, just because...
have they just been going downhill? I never saw the first
one. The second one was like... It had some good scenes, actually, but the ending kind of fell apart. But the first one, I think, is actually a very solid action movie, and I like watching it.
Yes. Well, maybe I need to watch it then. Okay, I have a very serious question for you because we have not planned the next movie for the podcast.
It's going to be The Creator.
Ooh! Really? Oh my gosh, it'll be out then. Awesome. Okay, guys, see you next time. We're going to watch The Creator.
I got you.
Bye.
Bye.